Okay, let's get this meeting started. So, the agenda we have for today, we're going to have a message from Noel Kitchen. And in fact, Noel is also going to give us some new information about the Reinvest ASA and also the Program Enhancement Funds. And Noel is going to actually speak for Mark. Mark is not going to speak. And then the other things that we want to cover after that will be the election nominations for the section vice chair, the ASA president, and we want to have some suggestions for the section-wide symposium in 2012. And then I'd like to have Andy lead some discussions with the time that we have left on what our experiences have been this first time we've had a community, what our experiences are, and how we want to organize this particular section in the future. So let's start with Noel.
Thank you, Peter. And actually, the first order of business is for all of us in the room to acknowledge Peter's service as the section chair for this past year. There's been a lot of emails that have been exchanged over this year, and it's been a difficult year to have this assignment because of the restructuring, and he has done a wonderful job. So if you'll stand up here, I just want to offer this certificate of appreciation on behalf of the society. Also, relative to this section, the board representative, Mark Powell, finishes his term of service for that. He's actually been on there maybe an extra, I guess it's just been the 3 years. Mark, he's going to stand up and we're going to clap for him now, even though we're going to honor him in our board meeting on Thursday morning. So stand and thank you, Mark, for that. And starting January 1, Jessica Davis, she will be the board rep for this section, and she's already been active and participated with some various things, a leadership retreat that we've had, and has been kind of getting in the loop and getting familiar with some of the things that we do on the board with the society. So Jessica, welcome. You will be a great person to have there. Now, I'm going to try to get through this quickly because there's some other really relevant discussions to be to have here, but I have some notes here in front of me relative to the budget, and there's a lot of numbers, and I'm going to try to do it very briefly, and that is, we actually as a society are in pretty good shape right now. That wasn't the case 2 years ago. Ellen Bergfield, the CEO, tightened up some things. There were some accounting things that they were able to do, and as a society, we are in pretty good shape. We watch this very closely, and make sure that it's that we're not dipping into reserves to an extent that it's caused any kind of a problem. The society is really in good shape, and there's all the auditing that needs to go in on an annual basis is being done, and it's overseen by the board, and that is taken care of in the appropriate ways. Why don't you go ahead and hit up? And because of that, Fran Pierce, who's currently the past president of the society, finishes up here in a couple of months. He offered to the board, it was almost a year ago, the question, and asked the question, when is enough? When do you have enough? When is the piggy bank full enough relative to your reserves? And the idea of this was that there is some level of your net worth. When you take your liabilities and your assets and your operating costs all into account, that you say you have enough. And basically propose that we have for the society a program called Reinvest ASA. And we, after exploring this extensively, looking at other societies and looking at total operation expenses on a per year basis, making sure we want, keep a certain reserve in there, we have a metric we have in place. At the end of the year now, when we hit that that metric, or we do an assessment of our balance sheets, and if we've hit that metric or above that metric, we say, okay, these funds are in excess of what we need. And we will allow those funds to be used. They don't have to be, but we will allow those funds to be used. So this year, we did that. We got the policy in place that kind of come in the middle of the year. It wasn't until August that we actually got this approved, but there's $41,000. Yeah, that's in this Reinvest ASA. Now, at the end of this calendar year, if that's not used, it just kind of goes back into it, and we recalculate that at the end of the year, and then make that determination again. It kind of depends on how well the stock market and your investments and all that, what's happening there. So it may not go above that threshold, but at least as a society, we're not just going to let it build and build and build, and not do anything. There's a point here where you say we need to be. Use these resources to strengthen who we are. So, kind of gone through that there. So there's kind of five different areas that we kind of think about these Reinvest ASA funds need to be dedicated for. And you can read those more quickly than I can read them to you. But you can see it has to do with the society, membership, bringing in new people. Tied to the strategic plan, those kind of things are what we want Reinvest ASA to go for. There is a procedure we have in place for this. You know, at the end of the year, we determine how much there is. There's a very short one-page pre-proposal. If there's money there, we will send out an announcement to the sections and to the members, although the proposals need to come through organizational structure. It can't be just an individual saying, I'm going to put in a proposal for myself as a member. It has to be through some organization within the society. And there's a timeline that we have, and it's not a big proposal, but it will get funded based upon the merit of the proposal. And so that's something that you need to know about. Next. And because we were so late in the year, this year, in terms of getting it in place, we kind of did a little bit different approach, and that is we had the program chair for next year, Sharon Clay, and the program planning officer, Bob Lacey, put together a proposal because of the critical time that we are at with communities and trying to get them up and going. And they basically put together this proposal, and it was approved by the board that each community of the 36 communities currently within the society are going to receive a $750 allocation to use. And we have there for 2012 or 13 annual meeting programming, but we've actually, it's more loose than that, in that this $750 could be used even outside of the annual meeting experience. Okay? For example, if your community is interested in doing, some kind of a workshop, and you need some money to be able to reserve a room someplace in a hotel, and the $750 will get you there, or at least get you started, then that you could use it for that. If you wanted to use it for a book or whatever, it's not going to be a lot, but it gets you a little start. We'd like to have been more than that. Now, you know, you can quickly do the math, 750, 36, that's not 41,000, that's right, because we wanted to make sure that there was a little bit of reserve there in case there were other proposals, other things we needed to respond to before the end of the year. We also thought there may be additional communities that might emerge out of the meetings here and wanted to be able to honor those communities with this same little 750 amount. So program enhancement funds. We're also going through a very kind of a change of program enhancement funds. And just very quickly, what it is the registration for our meetings here in San Antonio, a small portion of that is used to put into this pot called program enhancement funds, and it's used to help develop and fund the meetings next year in Cincinnati. So you can think of it in terms of the food and the drink that you got in the back of the room here right now is being funded as a result of some of the registration that came about in Long Beach. That's kind of how it works. So but that's the way you know that you have funds and you can move those forward and you build the. Is that a strange way of looking at it?
Well, just no free drinks.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It never is. A pot of coffee is amazing in these things. Anyway, so the program enhancement funds are important. It's a part so many of the members identify with their membership within the societies through the meeting experience. And we want to build and strengthen these meetings. And so having resources to do that is quite important. There's some examples of how program enhancement funds can be used. And again, you can read that quickly. There's other ideas. They just need to be forwarded through to your program, the section chair to get approval to make sure it's okay. There's additional $1,000 allocation that's given to the sections. Right now, we're not letting that carry forward like it used to be with divisions. It's just $1,000 a year. If you don't use it, you lose it. We're thinking about altering that policy already. The problem is there's been, and it still exists in the other two societies, is that they get program enhancement funds and they get these accounts and it just grows and they never spend it and they're up in the $20,000, $30,000, $40,000. And that was not the intent of these funds, to grow it for some retirement of somebody. That's not the intent. It's to use these funds for our meetings. And so, but maybe $1,000 is too restrictive. Maybe we need to have a ceiling of $2,000 or $3,000 or something like that and let it grow to that amount. Of the program enhancement funds, you have $1,000 per section, so that's $7,000. And then 50% of the remaining funds actually will go to communities based upon the number of papers that either that community organizes, or if we can't tell that it's been associated with a community within a section, the credit for those papers are evenly distributed between all the communities within a section. So say that there's 40 papers in this particular section, and we would just spread it equally to those communities within that section. Okay?
I think we just have one more.
Okay. And then the other 50% of those remaining funds actually are competitive grants. They're small, little proposals. We think that they're going to be in the $500 to $2,500 nature. There could be a request up to $5,000. Again, there will be a little proposal system, very easy. Your leadership will has a leadership handbook that has copies of that, but it's all available online too, and you can go after some of those funds. If you have a book that you're wanting to do as a community or whatever, program enhancement funds are not going to help with the book, but it could help with something for the meeting itself. Okay, so is that it on the program? Yeah, any questions on Reinvest ASA or program enhancement funds? We're fairly steady on our membership within the society, about 7,500, 7,600 members. It was going down. It seems to kind of have leveled off at this point, which is a good sign. We're actually hoping that the new restructuring will help to define who we are so much better that new members will be attracted to and stay with the society. Membership or attendance here at meetings is around 3,900. That's very similar, maybe up even just a little bit from what it was last year at Long Beach. And last year was a pretty big bump up from what it was the year before. So we've actually, it seems to have leveled out or brought back up the attendance at our meetings, which is a good metric, a good sign. I think that's really the main things that I wanted to cover, unless there was any other questions. Or thank you.
Are you going to stay for the discussion we're going to have?
I will. I'm going to be able to stay at least for 10-15 minutes.
Okay. Okay. Good.
All right.
Okay, so for the meeting on the leadership, we need to elect a couple of people, the section vice chair. So the section vice chair for next year is Ray Weil, and Andy is the vice chair this year. He will be becoming the chairman as soon as I can give it to him. And Ray will be his vice chair. So now we need to nominate. We need to provide two names for somebody to be the vice chair after that. Okay, so that would be the 2012-13 vice chair, right, and then they would become the section in 13, 14. Are there any names in the room here that you feel we should put forward? Are there any nominations or any possibilities? We do have one person, Sarah Beboud. She's an Erie scientist in the Philippines. She couldn't come to this meeting, but she's said that she would be willing to be one of the names. She actually Ray won last year, and Sarah was the number two one. So, but I have to put in two names. So I need another name. So what I suggest is, if you have a name, or even if you want to nominate yourself and you're shy about doing that in this meeting, just send me an email or Andy an email, and we will make sure that. But please do it soon, because we have to. When do we have to get that nomination in, Mark? Do you know?
Well, our hope is that there's enough arm twisting that you get two names without twisting arms off, so that Mark can bring those names to the board meeting on Thursday.
On Thursday. So we need that. You know, we need that quickly. The section board, as you heard, I can't remember if it's Rebecca or what.
Jessica.
See, I was close. I'm really bad on names. So Jessica was nominated last year to be the new board rep to replace Mark, so we don't need to find somebody there. But I was also asked if you have any thoughts about who you think should be the next ASA president. Once again, if you could give us either Mark or Jessica or Andy or myself, we can forward that to the committee for the next president. Okay? The same for communities. After we finished this meeting, and I hope we finish by 5 o'clock, there are two communities that we have. We have the digital soils one, and we have the smallholder agriculture community. But these are some recommendations that we're making. We're recommending that have communities electing a new vice leader at the community's annual meeting. So you should be nominating a new community leader. And the board recommends all communities consider voting on extending the terms of the current presiding leader and vice leader for a second year. So, and the reason for that is so that we have more continuity of this community. There's a new system, and so having the same person, there's always a steep learning curve when you get nominated for these positions. I know I had a very steep learning curve when I became the section chair. And so that's one of the possibilities that you may want to consider for this. Please forward the names of the community leaders for 2012 to Sarah. So if you agree with this, Ray would be the would continue as the community leader, and I can't remember the name of the lady that, yeah, she would be the vice leader. Okay. So then, with the time that we have left, we thought, since this was the first year that we had communities and we had a global agronomy group instead of an international agriculture group, that maybe we should have some discussions about the next ASA meeting in Cincinnati. And so we have some discussion points. Here's some questions, and I'd like Andy to fill this out. Do we need communities in the global agronomy? And I'd like to have Andy expand on that. And then, how do we get integration across sections and programs? In other words, we find people in global agronomy are with many different other societies, you know, CSSA, SSSA. How do we get integration across these sections with global agronomy? And should we instead just have one or two good cross-cutting symposia? And don't have we don't have posters. We don't have topical sessions in this particular section. Now, the problem then comes, and that's why I've asked Noel to stay, is then how do we get our brownie points for the number of people in meetings, and how do we get our $750 and $1,000 and things like this? So, do you want to say something, Andy?
Just briefly.
Then we can have some discussion.
More interested in everybody's feedback on this, but, you know, maybe 3 or 4 years ago now, we had this International Agronomy Task Force. And at that point, we had a lot of concern that the number of people that were participating in the sessions that we had, the number of people that were coming to the business meetings, was a dwindling band. And we came up with a set of recommendations that really sort of recognized that global agronomy or international agronomy was cross-cutting, that it wasn't, it was separate, distinct from the other sections in that regard. And that there were probably some other ways that we might want to organize ourselves to sort of reflect that, to make sure that we had enough people power to maintain momentum, that we were integrating with the other sections, and that we weren't spreading our momentum too thin. And I just looked on my computer. I can't find that document. I have it somewhere. And those recommendations are probably worth revisiting, particularly on the notion of the posters. I think especially for the graduate students that we bring in, we do them a bit of a disservice to put them into catch-all categories based on geography rather than the technical themes that they're working on. We can still retain that designation. We can have a check off that they are. They're global in focus or international in focus, but we really ought to try to work on mainstreaming them, pairing them with people that are working on this similar type of stuff. The idea of the cross-cutting symposium is to say we really should be engaging with people across the society, and that adding that global dimension and working with the other sections to really have some high-profile events. I think that the sections that we had this year, were very well attended, and I was very encouraged. I think everyone was very encouraged by what we were able to pull off this year. But how we do that, you know, at first, is that a good idea? Does everyone agree that that's the mode that we should be working, or should we be retaining a separate identity? I think is something that we should put on the table. And then getting some initial impressions about the communities. Do we need to be splitting ourselves up? Is that going to add focus, or is that going to add a management burden to the section that we don't have the numbers to support? So anyway, I won't say anything more, but rather solicit some reactions to all that. What do you think? What do you guys think after a year of having communities?
I like it. I like the fact that the ASA is doing something different, innovative, and I think it's a good idea. Global is a better term than international, because it means everybody. But what really attracts people, according to the numbers game and all this stuff, what really attracts people is not what section or this or that, it's a topic. That's what attracts me. And I think we can do topics that are more general but still topical, science worthy. And I'm happy with it. We need to do something different, because the society we're getting a little blah, all of them. And so I'm glad there's an ASA to believe in and have to
Let me ask a follow-up on that. When we do the symposium, we're trying to really identify and chase those big ideas, those big themes that are going to get people excited and provoke something new. Do we do that in collaboration with the other sections, or is this something that we do internally every year to kind of retain more control? I think there's a somewhat of a decision to be made.
Being part of the transition team, which was basically implementing the recommendations of the International Task Force, I think what our challenge is as we move forward is, as Andy But that's going to take work. We have to work with the other section leaders to do that. Now, coming to the symposia, this year there has been a number of global things related to global agronomy that we didn't claim ownership to, but it's obvious that there, a lot of the sections are seeing themselves as being more global in nature. So one of the challenges, one of the things I think that we need to develop is how can the global agronomy section coalesce all the, or not take credit, but how can we coalesce everything that the society is doing globally and express it as a global effort, as a unified effort under global agronomy? Or if need be, organize one or two symposia. So I think that still would be sorted out. I see them as being two different issues. How do we work with other section leaders to highlight the global nature of the symposia that they're putting together, and then fill in the gaps or add to that with symposia that people within our section think are important. Try to make myself clear there. So there's three things I see: is getting the technical papers from the international people really integrated with your counterparts from the technical point of view. The symposia, how do we, what service can we provide to the society to say that we have these cross-cutting issues across sections that are global in nature that are presented at the meetings, and then also these special symposia. So those are the three things I think kind of stand out for me.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. And to me, an argument for why do we have communities, it's to the question of what do you want global agronomy to mean, not just to members or future or current, potential members to our society, but for those who may interact with our society? Because global agronomy sounds pretty good, but what does it mean? And so communities, to me, help define what we think global agronomy ought to be. It kind of helps give the pixels to the picture, you know, and it helps explain that. And so, to me, that's one reason why we do these, have these communities, is to really kind of help explain what it is we do. And I don't know if that's a good fit, a good definition for this particular section or not, but I know for the others, it seems like it ought to be here too.
The only issue in that is technical duplication and kind of dividing competencies and making the linkages harder to achieve. And some we don't want to mirror every other section, I guess, within global agronomy. I think that would be a mistake.
So the communities need to have something that speak to not just the science or discipline or an area, an issue or whatever, but how you go about doing that for global purposes.
Maybe going back to I just make one point. Can we agree on the first point that Mark made, that perhaps we don't accept general contributions to global agronomy, and that we just take that off the table when people are submitting? Is that something people would support, or do you want to have something separate for volunteered papers to be put in global agronomy sessions?
I would think that you want to perhaps accept those, but they need to be something that is unique and still cross-cutting. I mean, we have this matrix organization where we have soil scientists interested in global agronomy. If it's something that fits within that soil science unit and isn't really cross-cutting, then maybe it ought to be in soil science. Okay. But if it's really something that's cross-cutting, there still ought to be a way to volunteer papers where...
Well, how do you decide something's cross-cutting? I mean, there are symposia ideas that are global in nature, that we're going to bring in expertise from a lot of different areas then I think that deserves a special treatment.
Right.
But
I think the community needs to define those roles and really have the leadership of the society in defining what those are. You know, the symposia this year looked at how we connect with nutrition and how we connect with so many other areas. So I think that's extremely critical. I do see that you're not going to get as many people always coming to symposia. I mean, there's just too much conflict today. I have to go to 3 or 4 sessions and go to the wrong place or other things I can do.
I would support not doing it, not leaving an open door for just submissions. I know last year I was in charge of having to try to sort through those. And yeah, there's some, like was just mentioned, they do have a global focus, but I think a lot of people coming in from overseas, they see international or global agronomy and they just throw it in there. And what becomes hard is trying to get, you see that they're fit very nicely in another section.
Exactly.
But there's just not the ability to easily move a poster. You have to coordinate, make phone calls, emails, other people, and usually people are working just in the last few days to try to put everything together, and you can't move that talk into another thing. It's too late.
Yep.
The point I forgot to make is that free beer always comes out. It really needs to be targeted. It almost needs to be a solicitation that we will accept papers for this particular topic.
And that's really the focus that would be provided by, you know, just doing a few high-profile symposia, maybe on the section level or on the community level. It could be both.
Are there limits on how many symposia?
There are limits on how many symposia. It's one per am I getting this right? No, one per section and then one per community. This has to do with in part revenues, yeah, because the fees for the registration fees for people coming in from the outside are waived under the expectation that the symposium are kind of intended to bring in people from outside the society.
Suggestions for next year.
I've got a couple things going through my head of how it's going to work. Unfortunately, I'm going to have to leave now. But I'm going to have to, I think, between Jessica and Mark and the discussions you finish up with, and then you, Jessica, I'm sure you're going to be at the meeting Thursday, or are you going to be there? So that you two and myself, let's make sure that we get firm what your recommendation is. I guess I want it to be something that gives credit for the work you're doing. There's a steady
steady support back to the section. I think it is critically important. I wish I could share with you details about where we're going forward with the digital library of the societies and how we talked to Peter and Andy the other day about this, or Fran did, and there are some exciting things happening that, relative to content that we have done in these societies that we're going to make available for globally. And in a way that's just absolutely fantastic, and that's going to come very, very quickly. And so I think there's a major needed role for the global thinking minds of the people in this room, and I appreciate that. And so we'll figure something out on that part. You guys put forward the recommendation. Our guiding principle from the beginning of this new restructuring is bottom up. And if you guys come forward with something that's different that we can't fit into the box of the other things, we'll bend the box.
Thanks, Noel. Yeah.
Well, I'd like to mention that, you know, this is the first time that I've been to one of these meetings. I enjoyed it a lot. What I liked the most was that, you know, the 4 or 5% that I was exposed to many different contents, you know. So I think that the community is offered like a forum, like a locus, where there is an intersection of different areas. You know, if you look at soil analysis, I don't know if it is a division or is it the right name, but it is a group that deals with soil analysis itself, right? But maybe, you know, some of those presentations, and I was thinking of some that I saw in the program about Haiti, a portable analytical method for requirements of paper, and that kind of thing would probably be more related to this community, you know, forward. It's an application specific to something global in nature, but it also has the nature of interacting with other things. We were talking about mobile phones and communication and statistics. So it's like different areas, soil, maybe computers, or maybe statistics, are interacting and superimposed and analyzed at the same time. So I think it's very valuable, and it offers a different, me at least, more valuable perspective than looking at each piece of thing at all.
One of the issues is defining what we're about and what brings everybody into the same room and want to be a part of this particular section. I think we do have to be a little bit cautious that we don't duplicate the efforts of the other sections, that we leverage them and coordinate with them, but that we also don't try. Mark, I think that if we try to take too much credit for some of these things, we might build some resentments. Yeah, we'd probably have to watch the sense. I hear exactly what you're saying, but when we try to rebrand things, we should probably be cognizant of the fact that we should, you know, we work with the section chairs of the other communities and try to add something to them, and not in retrospect just sort of say this has a global dimension.
Well, I guess my point is that there are a lot of sections that are doing global work. So, you know, so I don't think we want to take credit for that, but I'm wondering what the role of our section is to deliver to the society, here's our global portfolio. You know, do we have a role in that? And maybe not.
I don't know. Historically, this section, going back to A6, was a lot about development, right? And so I think that that's something that somewhat distinguishes us from the efforts of some of the other sections, but maybe that's not the case anymore. Maybe it's a stronger case. I don't know. But it's probably worth some thought. What makes us unique aside from just
just a historical perspective? You know, the donor funding ed for you know, there's a big ed. So we lost that, we lost membership, we lost enthusiasm, we lost, but now that it seems to be increasing, well then, you know, perhaps we have kind of, you know, the motivation to kind of be that again, but.
Pedro has a point.
Yeah, International Agronomy Division, which I was there forever, seemed to mean to some of my colleagues in the same department that this is everything but the United States division, and they deal with issues that were not America. So you deal with fertility of the rest of the world, we deal with fertility of the U.S. I think the advantage of changing the name to global United States, to say the least. So I think now it's much more encompassing, less, it should really be about some global issues, talking about some closing, that are really of interest to almost all parts of the other two societies that are still sufficiently technical, so that it attracts us in what we are. So maybe we should have just one symposium a year. I couldn't care less about other people putting their names as S1 or S4 and all that. That's for three counters and how many other sections are more important. But if we get a reputation, not by getting a lot of people, but by getting first class, forward-looking, cutting-edge stuff that's still within the realm of agronomy and science and so on, then little by little we'll grow up. What are we now? Just three people. You have a section with two commodities, not two communities, I'm sorry. It's small, but that's fine. Let's start small, but let's try to capture something very important and get its own character truly global, not excluding the U.S.
And that's really the spirit behind the last recommendation. It's to add focus to what we're doing. I mean, but of course that implies too a certain discipline on our part, that we're going to have to, you know, figure out a way to reach consensus and kind of get behind doing these things. So it's a little bit less freedom for everybody to kind of define potential section or sessions as they see fit. Is that fair? Is that what people want? Is that a good thing? Or anyway, we don't have to decide all this now, but these are
trying to make some motions down the road on?
Oh, yeah. I think the chair is going to take over now. I'm not sure we're there yet, are we?
Well, one thing was not having the general open submissions.
Yeah.
That just because you did something in XYZ country, south of breeding or the soil fertility, whatever it was, you should go with the breeding and the fertility section. And, the last one about having one or two supposedly doesn't need to go on. The other one's a question. Those seems like two.
So why don't we tackle the first one? That seems rather straightforward.
You need someone to make a motion?
Yep. You make that motion. What's your motion?
I'll move that global agronomy not have a general category to accept volunteer papers without being part of a focused global symposium. I think we should get some motion so we could settle this. And one idea that's going around that I put in motion was that mobile agronomy should no longer accept volunteers' general papers, that the only reason that they fit in global agronomy is that the work was done in some country other than the West.
Okay. Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay. We want to vote? Who's in favor?
Aye.
Against? Nobody. And quite a number of abstentions. So
carries?
Okay. The second one then is should we try to organize one good cross-cutting symposia at a higher level than technical? Every year, that's another one.
No, I would say it still would be tenured. I mean, it would still allow us to do.
Meaning maybe
what we are, but
maybe a higher level and global in thoughts.
Well, what I want to happen is to have Ralph Nader or somebody somebody who really is not part of.
So
there's a place for that
So we want to organize a symposium that will have cross-cutting, would be technical, and would attract an audience from all three societies.
Yeah.
And okay, so who can second that? Yep, okay. And vote on that? Yes?
No, but except the point of discussion, we do have the community of interest structure that's sort of overlaid on the global agronomy section. Like this year we had a community of interest that had a symposium, so I think that would be outside of the one or two cross-cutting symposium.
It would just be one. It would be one because we only allowed one per section. So.
But this has implications.
One per section, but also one per community.
Well, and this has implications going forward because anybody can form a community, right?
Yeah. At least 10 emails.
10 emails or what have you. What are we talking about here? Are we talking about the symposia or just cover the general section interests? That we go for this in a very serious way as a larger group, and we still allow the communities, whatever communities are forming, to do the symposia as well?
My question about that should be in addition to whatever community of interest.
Yeah, in addition to, I think like this year, we had one on Feed the Future, and then we had a second one for the community. Yeah. So an additional one.
Right now we only have two communities of interest, there, right?
We have one, but one is being formed. So. Yeah.
Two.
Okay. So do we want to vote on that? One additional cross-cutting symposia that would attract an audience from the different societies.
I mean, this isn't really controversial because we've already voted that we won't do kind of catch-all technical sessions, right? So by default, we have this already. We may not need to.
Yeah. Because one of the things that I think would help Andy and it would help me as well, and also Mark or Jessica, is to get anybody has some ideas of what they think would be a really good symposia topic, and maybe possibly one or two speakers that you think that we should invite for the Cincinnati meetings. We would very much like to hear from you on that. Maybe you haven't thought about that now, but if you have a good idea, please send us an email, and we will we can consider that. Right?
Yeah? Anybody have any ideas that they want to put on the table now for a symposium for next year?
I do think that today, this session, we had a very good session on Feed the Future. Now, we were also able to have a second one because we had a Z-series symposium as well. So we had really good coverage. We had very, very good attendance for those two symposia. But there was a lot of duplication from these symposia with others in other sections. So anybody would like to suggest anything, or should we just leave it to somebody to, you know, if you have a thought, please just send us an email. Because I think we need to finish this meeting so that we can move on to the community. So,
Peter, what's the date that we need the symposium finalized by?
Do you know, Mark? What date do we need to have the symposium? Because then...
It's towards the end of the year.
I think sometime in November. It's sometime in November we need to have that, maybe the beginning of November, because then people will start sending in their papers, and then you have to start developing the symposium. So. Or you have to invite speakers to participate.
Well, the sooner the better, but there is a cutoff.
Yeah.
The society has a cutoff date, and they let us know.
I think it's November the 11th or something like that, sometime in November.
And is your thinking through things that you might want to see as a symposium next year, if you're making connections with the other divisions, that's probably something that we should pursue actively and try to get some buy-in from at least one or potentially more than one of the other sections.
I mean, one thing which would have helped me a lot is if we could have got together a section, the different section chairs could get together and discuss this. I mean, these are the people we should be talking with. We should be talking to the other sections, the other societies, their chairs, and discussing this.
I'll bring that up.
I think this is something we need to bring up in the board, yeah. Because we have no mechanism in these meetings here to meet with our other fellow chairs or vice chairs or discuss this sort of thing. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to call an end to the business meeting and then hand this over to Ray and Pedro for their community meetings. And you can decide how you want to break out. Do you want to just have one community meeting? You were having some really good discussions on this before we broke up for this business meeting. So, yeah.
I